Welcome to the MILF Way, mindful, intuitive, lifestyle, fitness, an all-encompassing wellness podcast featuring some of the most successful, influential parents and experts out there. I'm your host, Cherokee Luker, mother, model, fitness trainer, and wellness enthusiast. Join me as we dive into all things MILF. Welcome back to the MILF Way. Today, I'm sitting down with fellow podcaster, host of The Mompreneur Guide, business owner, and mother to two, Megan Morin. Guys, today's episode is so informative, and Megan drops so many nuggets of wisdom in this episode when it comes to finding your purpose, parenting, and the beauty of slow living. I literally had my pen and paper out during this conversation because Megan taught me so many new terms, such as unschooling, slow living, gentle parenting, and conscious parenting, just to name a few. And she just had me so intrigued with her approach to life, business, and parenting. We touch on lots of important topics and get vulnerable with each other about what we learned from our childhood and also to being your highest authority and the approach we both take when it comes to parenting. Having been a podcast host for years, Megan is such a natural on the mic and just knows how to keep the audience engaged with the way she speaks, and I just loved that so much about her. I know you all are going to walk away with so much after listening to this episode, so without further ado, please welcome Megan Morin to the MILF Way. Let's talk about style for our little ones and how hard it is sometimes to find cute, affordable, and stylish pieces for our kids. Enter Club Enzo. Club Enzo is the perfect place to find all of the best sets and essentials for your little boy or girl. Curated with love from mother to son, the founder of Club Enzo was just on the podcast, and I highly recommend listening to Heather's episode if you haven't already. She created pieces that she felt were lacking in the market, and I remember seeing her and her son Enzo at the park and always wanting the outfits that Enzo was wearing for Hunter, and then of course, come to find out, it was her brand, so no wonder he looked so cute all the time. Go check it out for yourself, you guys, and make sure you do it before the holidays are over. I just purchased a bunch of cute sets for Hunter for Christmas, and I can't wait for him to rock them at the park and at school. So for 20% off, use code MILFBOD when you check out at shopclubenzo.com. That's code MILFBOD, MILFBOD, at shopclubenzo.com. Let's jump into our discussion today. I'm so excited to have you on the show. And you are a pro in this area. This is your expertise. So I'm very excited to have you on today because I've never had anyone in this space come on and talk about it. So I would love for you to just introduce yourself to the audience and give us a little bio on who you are.
Of course. Yeah. Well, hi, everybody. My name is Megan Morin. And my husband, Colin, and I own a podcast content creation studio, as well as have our own podcast and Substack, all focused on helping mom entrepreneurs. I started off, actually, my first business was a styling business. I started it in high school because I'm a third generation mompreneur. So I was encouraged, like, do what you love as early as you can. And so I ran that business for 10 years and I loved it. But you know how it is. When kids come along, things change.
Definitely.
And so I pivoted out of that business and into this one. And that through line was, I grew up with a mompreneur. I've always loved serving mompreneurs in my styling business. That's who I would style. And then now moving forward as a mompreneur myself, I'm like, you just have to do business differently. And I want to do business differently. And so the original way that this all started was with my own podcast. And the focus was, how do we be both present and productive? Be around for all the moments with our kids while also following our dreams and passion.
I love that message.
I love it. And I believe it so much to my heart. And as things do, it all expanded, right? Like right. I moved into slow living. We're unschooling our kids. We're getting Colin into this business full time. And so we want to live this full familypreneurship lifestyle. And so that's where a lot of this went. Like podcasting was that beautiful avenue that allowed us to do our business in a slower way that other people wanted help with. And we just eventually made it to this space of realizing this gets us where we want to go in all aspects, from marketing, from business, from lifestyle. So that was why the studio was created and the work we do happens now.
It literally sounds like a dream come true. It's like all encompassing all of the things that you love in one, which is so great, which is essentially the goal for everyone, I think, you know?
100%. Yeah.
And you kind of answered my first question in your kind of summarized version of who you are. But like, my first question I wanted to ask is like, what was your life like before being a mom? And have you always been an entrepreneur? It kind of sounds like you have been. And did you coin the term mompreneur? Because it's so genius.
I wish I did. People ask me that all the time. And I think I just am the one who leverages it the most.
It's awesome.
I know. I wanted to get mompreneur.com and somebody else had it and now they redirect it. And I'm like, no, I wish I could. But yeah, no. So I started my first business when I was in high school, studied entrepreneurship at Miami University here in Ohio.
Amazing.
And worked at startups. So I was in the fashion space, like I mentioned. So I actually moved out to California. We were in San Jose and I worked at Poshmark. So I always like to stay in that like startup field and still run my business, but you know, wanted to get some other life experience. Came back after we got engaged and went into the business full time and have never looked back. So that business had started well before kids. Had our first kid and made a transition, a pivot in the business. I had a mobile boutique and the car seat did not fit in there. So we sold that. Uh-huh. And then from there, when I was pregnant with our second and final, Sophia, during COVID, nobody needed to be dressed. I was starting to feel that itch of like, I just kept hearing you're meant to do more. You're meant to do something different. So after my maternity leave with her, that's when I left the old business behind and really had no idea what I was going to do moving forward. Because I grew up with the mantra, do what you love and the money will come. But I was at the precipice of, I no longer know what I love. Like fashion was my life. And so that was where like this aha of, oh, I come from this family. Entrepreneurship has been my life. I'm a mom. I don't want to outsource motherhood. I want to be here for it. And yeah, so that's how like all of the mompreneur stuff came into play.
That's beautiful. It's such like a natural segue. It seems like it just happened so organically. I think a lot of people, from my experience, I love that saying, like, do what you love and the money will come. But sometimes I feel like people run into feeling like they don't really know what they love or they don't really know what their purpose is. Like, what advice would you give to somebody who's maybe struggling to find out like what they love or what they're passionate about?
Yeah. Yeah. That was like exactly where I was at. And so I really wanted to find somebody who could tell me. I wanted to be like, Here's everything about me. Now assess it and audit and like diagnose. Yes. So I kind of ended up doing it for myself because I was like looking for a coach to do it. And I really think at the end of the day, that's what we all have to do, right? Like I'm very much, and our Substack is about tuning in because I realized for so long I was outsourcing my power. I was looking at every coach and everybody else to try to tell me what to do. I'm an overachiever, high achiever. And so I was like, give me the roadmap and I know what point Z is. I'm at point A, like tell me what to do to get there. So for me, what that looked like was I did a ton of personality quizzes because I love them. And I noticed all the similarities.
What are some that you love? I just learned about the Enneagram test.
I was going to say, yep, I love Enneagram, Myers-Briggs. I don't know. Do you know Denise Duffield Thomas?
No, I've never heard of that.
She is money mindset. She has this money boot camp program that she's been running forever. She's an author. And she is also a facilitator for this thing called Sacred Money Archetypes. Mm. And it's another one of those personality things, but it's more focused on like for business, how you are like best in line with money. That one was really helpful. Oh, Human Design I've gotten into a lot lately. It's awesome. And so for me, what I noticed was it's hard to like self-diagnose yourself for your purpose and like what you're good at, because it's either so easy to us, so we discount it, or we don't even realize like it can be something that's helpful to people.
Right.
And so that was really helpful in the personality tests for me to like look and see, oh, here are five things that consecutively show up. And those are things that I love and they fuel me and they light me up. So I might not know exactly what I want to do, but I know if it has these components, I'm probably going to feel good.
Right.
So that would be my first thing is like whatever that looks like for you. If it's personality tests, if it's asking people around you, if it's auditing past things you've done and it's like what lights me up and what drains me when you're stuck at that precipice of I don't know what to do next, most likely you do. It's just the tuning into yourself.
Yes. And that's literally what this whole show is about, is tapping into your intuition. Yeah, I feel like that's such a great starting point for anybody who's feeling like lost or, you know, stuck in some sort of way. How has having kids changed your entrepreneurial journey?
So many ways. Well, yeah, and I know you wear a lot of different hats, right? And so I think to myself, like, what did I do from 8 a.m. until 6 o'clock at night sitting at my desk before kids? Like, what did I do during all that time?
Yeah.
I baffle. So I would say a lot of it now, right, is being really intentional and streamlining and choosing what feels the best and makes the biggest impact. We only have childcare like 10 hours a week. Mm-hmm. So we run our entire business in that time frame.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm.
And it's good and it's challenging and it's all of the things, right? As is life. So yeah, that has changed a lot, because before with my styling business, I would sit down, like get into my office at 8 and go on 8-hour long closet cleanses and like do all this stuff. And like now, I don't know if you feel this way too, Cherokee, but like I feel like I'm just not available. Like I'm tired. I'm happy. And I'm tired. And so I'm like,
what is
the lowest thing I can do? The most supportive with the least amount of energy.
Yes.
That's a different approach than before. That's where slow living and stuff has really played in for me, of like having to de-school the hustle, the hard work mentality, and realize like my worthiness can be in the smallest things, right? And is in the smallest things.
Yeah, I love that. And I think too, a lot of people before they become parents, I think there's this mindset around like, oh, well, my life's over. Like, I'm not going to have any more time. And while that is kind of the reality, but I think if you switch your mentality into thinking of like being more productive with the time that you do have, I have found that since becoming a mother, like we too have very little childcare. And so on the days that we do have help, it's like, okay, I know that it's go time. I have to be so productive. Like there's no messing around. So it, in a way, I think it actually makes you more productive because it gives you fuel. It motivates you because now you're working for your children as well.
Yeah. And I think it helps you cut the fluff too, right?
Yes, like, exactly.
I know for sure at that time in the business prior to kids, it was all about Facebook. So I know for sure I was like scrolling on Facebook half that time.
Totally.
You know, it's like the things that you don't need to do. I think that's the cool thing about motherhood, is it really helps you prioritize with almost more ease. Cause like you said, you have such a strong reason, such a strong why.
Yeah, exactly. So I would love for you to get into your business and the podcast studio, and also like how you guys made the transition from living in California to now living in Ohio, right? That's where you live.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know the name of your town that you guys currently live in, but you describe it as like a storybook town. Mm-hmm. And from the description, there's like a waterfall in the town center, that like all of these really cute, like quintessential things. Can you please describe that to me so I can live for you?
Yeah. Are you a Gilmore Girls fan?
Oh my God. Yes. Is that where you live?
Basically. So I'm obsessed with Gilmore Girls. I'm on my 15th. I'm about to go on my 16th time around watching it.
Like,
I love it. I grew up in this area. So I met my husband in college. We're both from Cleveland, Ohio. He grew up on the west side. I grew up in the east side, went to school around here, all the things. But yeah, so our town is literally real life Stars Hollow. We have a rubber duck race down our waterfall in May.
I love it.
Yeah. For New Year's, there's a popcorn shop, a very old, famous popcorn shop here in town. They literally make a ginormous popcorn ball, and that drops like the New York, like Times Square type of ball. Like all the crazy, cute things like that happen. And we're really fortunate that our space is right here on the main drag. We're on a second floor, so we have like a crow's nest view out onto the whole town, and you can walk and get coffee and record and all the things. So yeah, we're really, really fortunate, and we are obsessed with where we live.
Oh, love it.
Yeah. So we were only in California though for 6-7 months.
Oh, okay.
We didn't last very long.
I get it.
It was just coming from the Midwest, where we have our own space and like can have a grocery store aisle to ourselves. That was really hard for us. And very quickly, I knew I just wanted to go full time with my business, and he was remote. So the transition back was fairly easy for us because, A, we weren't there that long and we didn't have kids. And yeah, so we came back here. So that was 2015. We came back. And then we had our son, Jack, in 2019, and then Sophia in 2020, and then transitioned to here. So I was online for, like, obviously 2020 for those 2 years, and pivoted the business and started the podcast and all of the things. And, you know, at the end of 22, I just felt called. I had hosted my own retreat. I had been to a lot of retreats in that year, and I just felt called to have like in-person connection again and our own space to host and hold people in. And that was where that pivot came, is like, we love our town. We had just moved back into our town. We had moved like 10 minutes down the street in a suburb. And it just kind of all collided, right? Like things opened up and people wanted to be in person and get out of their houses. And so that was kind of the collision of it all and what our little town is like. And we love our space that we have.
Yeah, your space looks so beautiful, by the way. I was going to ask you about the design and the aesthetic of it. Like, did you do all of that yourself?
All of it by hand. It was all us. Yeah, all me. Yeah.
That is so cool.
Thank you. Yeah, it was so much fun. I mean, I think that's probably part of where this like styling background comes, right?
Right. So how long has the studio been open now? And step by step, like, what does it look like when somebody comes in and wants to work with you guys?
Yeah. So our space, we have 1,800 square feet. We have two recording rooms, a photo room, and then like a living area room that has like a meeting room, dinner table style, and couches and all of that.
Cool.
And yeah, so people who want to come work with us have a couple of options. One, you can think of us like an Airbnb, but for businesses. So people can rent out a room or rent out the entire space. So like companies have rented out the whole space for meetings or from like a different work from home situation, company get-togethers, things like that.
Yeah.
And then other people will rent out the rooms and produce themselves, whether it's for their own course for their business, their marketing materials, maybe they'll use it for a photo shoot or start a podcast. Yeah. So that's kind of like option one, DIY, if you will. Middle option, option two, would be we help you launch in a day. So we have some amazing women come in and they're like, I want to start a podcast. So we help them map everything out before they get here. We help them record 3 to 4 episodes, get them set up on all the platforms, like all the tech stuff. Their job is to sit down behind the mic and share. And then we take care of getting the rest set up for them. And we teach them how to edit and produce themselves when they get home. So it's super easy and a very low lift. Yeah. And then the last option is like our full on production. So we do everything from, you know, sitting down, mapping it out, being like a business strategist, you know, constantly helping and coaching you through both the host side and the business side, producing you on your actual recordings, whether that's in person or virtually, and then turning it all into your marketing. So doing everything to make you SEO discoverable so people can actually find your stuff. Cause I think that's a common misconception, as I'm sure you can relate to.
Yes.
You think you can just put out your podcast and then it'll be found. And there are parts of that that works that way, right? But at the end of the day, we view it as this beautiful way to streamline your marketing as a business owner by doing one thing really well and then putting it very strategically in other places. So we're kind of marketing, business strategy, and production all rolled into one.
That is amazing. That's such a great business model and such a great idea. Is the market out there in your town like thriving for this type of thing?
Yeah, it's really interesting to see, like, you know, what we've had the space for a year now. I forgot to mention that part. Yeah. And so we officially launched in August because design took a lot longer than I expected, as per usual. But yeah, so it's been interesting to kind of see, like, there are so many people who want to launch a podcast and who show their interest in that. And then we've been learning more that people are craving, like, a cool vibey space to do company stuff or to do just their own production in. So yeah, and then we do work with people virtually too. So, you know, we still kind of see the mix of the two worlds of the 2 years I spent online and the 10 years I cultivated a local presence. So it's been interesting to kind of, like, mesh, and, you know, we're all just learning as we go, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So cool. I would love to come visit one day and just, like,
please
record an episode in there and check out the space and just visit the town. And I mean, I've looked at all of the photos online too, and it just looks so beautiful. So congratulations. I didn't realize that it's only been 1 year.
Mm-hmm. It's been really interesting as a mom, because the first 2 years I recorded out of my house and the kids were younger, like, they actually napped. I don't know. But it was like, it was so good, and it served a purpose to record and do things at home at that time, at that age. And then it just felt like a natural growth and feels so good now to have that separation to, like, I come to work and I get to do my work and we're right down the street from our house. It's literally a 10-minute walk or a 3-minute drive. So,
oh, that's perfect. Tell me a little bit about your podcast too, because I haven't had the chance to tune in yet, but I definitely want to. So yeah, when did you start it and how's it going for you?
Yeah, so it's evolved a lot. So I started it in July of 21.
Okay.
And it's under the name Mompreneur Guide.
Yeah.
And the whole concept was the tips and tricks to be present and productive. And so focused on all mompreneurs that I met all across the world and loved it. And then, as in a lot of things, you just start to feel that call and shift of, I want to do something a little bit different. So season 5, which would have been like May, the fall, I focused locally and focused on only Cleveland mompreneurs.
And
that was really cool because we had the space. So obviously, like, that was nice to bring people into the space and get their referrals and just kind of shift the lens and the focus, right? Since then, I've gone on Substack. Are you familiar?
No.
Okay, I'm obsessed. It's like an elevated email marketing platform. It's like email marketing meets blog.
So what's it called? Substack?
Substack.
I'm literally writing it down right now.
I'm obsessed with it. So it's been, we're going on month 2 of being on Substack, and you can host either a public or private podcast through it. So I had taken a break. Season 5, we did Cleveland Mompreneurs. That wrapped December 11th, I think. And then I just needed a break from that type of creating. So went onto Substack, started recording and essentially, like, live journaling my thoughts as a business owner. And I'm obsessed with it. And it's been so nice because I'll take the transcript and write it like a blog, and gotten great feedback. And so we are going to be reviving our Mompreneur Guide feed and focusing it and renaming it to be Cleveland Mompreneurs. And so instead of it being like my whole platform, Substack is my main platform. And this is just a place that we're going to put only Cleveland Mompreneur interviews, focusing on the SEO, focusing on our local people being able to view it almost like a magazine. So podcasting has shifted a lot for me in the past almost 3 years, and just the way that I treat it now too.
Yeah, that is really cool. I'll have to check that out. I've never even heard of it.
It's really cool.
These are, like, more so selfish questions because I just want to know for, you know, the purpose of the podcast. But, like, when you do a season, how many episodes are you doing in each season? And are you kind of, like, batching out the episodes and pre-recording them and then releasing them? Is that how you kind of do it?
Yeah. So for our podcast, our seasons have typically been about 20 episodes, and that was really for, like, timing. So I would batch, I would record, like, everything in 1 month, and then I'd have enough to go out for the next, like, 3 months roughly. So started in July, ended at the end of December, like, started again in January, ended in May, you know? So that was how we did it. For clients now, we focus on 12 episode seasons because we found that, like, you grow so much as a host. And so we found that when you do more than that, you start to hit this point of like, okay, I'm ready to do things differently. And so that's mm-hmm. where these breaks are kind of nice, where you're not too far away from the content when it posts from the time that you recorded, but you can then kind of like pivot and like ask questions differently or show up a little bit differently than you did grow, right?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I like that approach. I feel like I'm wanting to change gears a little bit and do it more so that way, because I'm finding that for the first year, it was amazing. And I was on like such this high and I was getting all of these amazing guests, but it's kind of slowed down a little bit because where I'm running into an issue is scheduling guests. Like that for me is really hard because, you know, people's schedules are crazy busy and I'm stressing because I'm having to put out an episode every other week and I'm running behind on guests. So I'm like scrambling to find guests. And so I think it's smarter almost to do it that way and kind of batch it. How do you find guests? Like, how do you reach out to people or connect?
Yeah. So I'm all about connection. And so that is something we do. Like, so our one client for next season will start the next couple of weeks. We've in this in between put her on Substack. And so it's allowed us to kind of like wait. We keep the podcast space really sacred. And so, but before we even started her season two, we mapped it all out. So we knew who the guests were going to be. We knew the conversations we want to have, the theme, the way she was going to approach it, how many solos she was going to have. So it was very much a map of like, okay, get these five people slotted in, get them on the calendar, get their recordings, and then, you know, we know when they're going to air. So that helps a lot for like that stress factor because it can be a hamster wheel, right? Especially if you're trying to keep up with it.
Yeah. So are you guys outsourcing like with your podcast, would you outsource like the editing process or would you do it all yourself?
We do it all.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. So we have a VA who helps us with like the back end stuff. So turning it into a blog that goes on your website, Pinterest, SEO, like all of that back end. But we are, I'm like a mama bear over the content, especially for our clients. I get to know them so well, right?
Yeah, I get it.
Their message is just so important to me. And so we still are hands-on with that. And like, we go over everything. We don't just edit for likes and ums. Like there are times where I move sections from the end to the beginning for clarity. And that part is very important to us that their message is clear and really hits what, you know, they're looking to say.
Wow, that's impressive. I would love to know how you structure your days being a mompreneur. Like, what does your day-to-day kind of look like?
I mean, we're always changing our schedule, right?
Right, exactly.
But we've realized that like slow mornings are sacred for us. And so, like I said, we unschool. So we're not trying to rush out the door before 10. Yeah, I've got an early bird and I've got a night owl. So Jack will be asleep by 7 and he wakes up sometimes at 4:45, like dude's up and at him. Yeah.
Oh,
so
no.
That's one. And then Sophia has been refusing to go to sleep until 9 and she's 3.5. And then she'll sleep. If we're lucky, she'll sleep till 7:45. So like she's in a sleep deficit. So sleep is a thing in our house right now.
Yeah.
So mornings are slow so that everybody can just recalibrate. Play, like a lot of independent play, all of that. Then around 10, we might like go out and go on an adventure. And then around noon, like after lunchtime, we've started in the last week, like iPad time. So they have it on airplane mode and have like a few things downloaded that they can play and watch. We realized we needed some space, all of us.
Yeah.
So they get to be in their rooms and like we all get a second. Yeah. And then we play a little bit more. And then our childcare typically comes around like 4 o'clock.
Okay.
So I have from 4 until 5:30 to be in the studio, getting stuff done, having meetings, whatever it is, and then get home at 5:30 and we start bedtime right away.
That's awesome. That's a good structured day though. I like that.
Yeah. It's nice for me. I realized like I need to mom when it's mom time and work when it's work time. And I was crossing over so much. So I have like all my work stuff off my phone now. I keep my phone in the drawer when I'm with the kids and I'm momming. So I'm not tempted to get on Voxer, do things like that. And then obviously at nighttime, there are times where I'll work. So I'll get Jack down and I'll get on the couch and I might do an hour or so of work. Saturdays is my me time day. So I have the day to myself to do what I want.
That's amazing.
And so I tend to work. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all about kind of adjusting and figuring out what works best for the whole family, because it's hard to function and operate as a loving and supportive family if one person is feeling like depleted. So you always have to make those shifts to adjust and make everybody happy. And it takes a lot of trial and error too. Like, I'm sure it's taken you guys a minute to figure out that structure and what works for you guys. And I'm sure it's going to change.
That's what I was going to say. It's like seasonal too, right? Like not literally with the seasons, but like in each season of your life, like we just made this transition because we realized for basically the last 5 years, we've been solo parenting essentially. Like I would have some time in the morning and then hand off the kids to Colin would hand off the kids to me, right? And then I'm on duty, right? And then he would come home from work and I'd be like, here you go. Like, I need a second to go work. And so then like he'd be on duty.
Like you tap in and tap out. You're like, okay, your turn. Right.
Yeah. And so now we're like, okay, especially as we're working him away from his full-time job and into our business, we're like, we need to acclimate to what it's going to be like. And so we're trying to do more family time. We've been doing more travel this year. So we've gotten to get a taste of that lifestyle. So I definitely think, it's like ever evolving. And you know how it is. You think you've got the schedule down. You're like, look at this. And then the next day, okay, I guess we're changing. Like, we're in a new season.
Yep.
Okay, guys. So I want to talk to you about one of my new favorite wellness brands, and that is 4Wellness. I had the pleasure of using two of their hero products, the Good Stuff and the Recovery Gummies. And now I'm hooked to both of them. Literally the day I ran out, I immediately went to the website and restocked using my own code. So the Good Stuff is a performance coffee supplement that helps you combat inflammation, feel calmer, and increase your energy at the same time. I actually notice a huge difference on the days that I take it versus the days that I don't. I feel so clear-headed, focused, and energized when I take it, and it's probably due to the fact that it contains 5 functional ingredients that include L-theanine, collagen, cinnamon, MCT, and Himalayan salt. And then the recovery gummies taste like actual candy, but give you the benefits of a high-performing athlete. They contain tart cherry extract that helps to reduce muscle soreness after a workout and provide you with sustained energy. I can't recommend these products enough, and with the holidays approaching and the new year just around the corner, 4Wellness is the perfect place to shop for your loved ones or for yourself to help you feel your best going into the new year. So for 25% off your order, use code CHEROKEE in all caps, CHEROKEE, when you check out at 4Wellness.com. That's FORWELLNESS.com for 25% off your order. Such a great deal, you guys. Do not miss out.
Could you explain to the audience what slow living is?
Yeah.
Because I don't think I even really know.
Yeah, it's really akin to minimalism in a sense. So one of the biggest things for me with it is I was like a type A overachiever, high achiever, go, you know, that kind of person, you can imagine. And for me, what slow living has become is recognizing like I don't have to do all of the things. I can do a few things and those can be potent and worthy. And I don't need to spend my whole day working. And I don't need to, our family motto is like, we're never in a rush. I don't need to rush from thing to thing.
I can
spend the whole morning until 10 a.m. And it doesn't have to be like, quick, let me write this email. Quick, let me do this. Like I can be very present. And so I think mindfulness, presence, minimalism, all of those are like really key components to slow living. And then what we talk about a lot is slow business or like feminine business, which is taking those same principles of we don't have to hustle, we don't have to work hard to like live the life. We can focus on the life that's here and be present and intentional in those moments. So it looks like doing less, having less, so that I can focus on what's in my life. And again, for me, they're rushing. Like, what am I rushing for? If the kids are late to gymnastics by 5 minutes, who really cares? What is going to happen? Yeah. You know?
I know.
Yeah. I think that's the difference for me with slow living is just saying to myself, like, slow in every moment and the intentionality and the lessness.
I love that. That's such a beautiful reminder because I feel like hustle culture is so glorified. And I think we're kind of moving away from that as a society with more, you know, conversations like this. But yeah, it's just, especially as parents, like you need to slow down and take a second. I feel like that's such a common topic that's been coming up in so many conversations that I've been having, is just like really taking the time to be present, especially when your kids are this age, because you're never going to get it back. So it's like, you have to just soak it all in and find as much like balance as you can with your work life situation, whatever situation you're in. But I really like that. That's such a good reminder.
Yeah. Well, and to me, it's akin to like, I don't know if you guys are like doing gentle parenting or conscious parenting or anything like that.
These terms. Can you?
Yeah. Give me all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So gentle parenting and conscious parenting, whoever is an expert in this field might correct me, but take my rough definition of it.
Okay.
So gentle parenting for us, what that looks like is focusing on like, you know, validating their feelings, listening to their feelings. Like, you know, we don't do punishments. We don't do rewards. We treat our kids like people, right?
Humans. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like, I don't know if you're familiar with HSP, highly sensitive person.
Yes. Cause I can relate. I can identify.
Yeah. So I'm an HSP. My son's an HSP. I can't tell if my daughter's is or not. She's like this little tank and she does have big feelings. So that's, you know, another part of gentle parenting, right? Is like, it can be very frustrating and triggering, especially with how we were raised and all generations before that, where emotions are, you know, kind of kicked under the rug, right? Or like, you're fine, or you're dramatic, right? Or you're too sensitive, like all of those things.
Yes.
Where gentle parenting focuses on like, well, that's just a window into what's going on inside. And so how do we talk with them calmly? How do we co-regulate? How do we show up for them so that they can understand as kids who don't know how to regulate their bodies yet? Like, how can we support them in learning that and learning their emotions and knowing that that's okay? So that's really a lot of what like the gentle parenting philosophy is about, is like recognizing emotions and helping them work through that. And the biggest lesson for me is realizing how triggered I am by things and like that I was never taught how to regulate. And so
Yes. You're
building the plane and flying it at the same time, aren't we, as moms?
I love that. That's so funny that you bring this topic up of co-regulation, because literally in my therapy session 2 days ago, yeah, I was talking to my therapist about this very subject and how, yeah, I think it was just normalized with, you know, us growing up, our parents' generation, their generation before that, to just kind of like shove your feelings down and act like you're tough and act like everything's fine. And I've realized that it's been my intuition to kind of just parent like that, because I've kind of reflected back on my childhood and have kind of picked apart some of the things that my parents did. And I've taken the things that, yeah, I like, but then I've taken the things that I definitely didn't like, and I'm trying to change that cycle. And so one of the things is definitely co-regulation, because you're never going to be able to learn how to self-regulate as an adult if you don't have that support when you're younger. So like, for example, me, I didn't really have that emotional support a lot from my parents, and not, this isn't like to bash them or anything. Exactly. I think this is just like, they were doing the best with what they were given, essentially. But I think that, yeah, that's such a good way to approach parenting, is to just kind of step back and realize like, they're just little humans. They don't know how to articulate their feelings yet. So maybe it's coming out in a temper tantrum or they're crying. And rather than, you know, getting frustrated, which we can very easily resort to, you just have to like get down on their level, you know, and say, it's going to be okay. I'm here for you. Like, let's talk about what's going on. And I think too, like, you kind of have to be on the same page with your partner when it comes to these types of things. And that's one of the things we were actually talking about in therapy, is he likes to be the more disciplinary one, which I definitely don't want my kid to be like jumping off the walls and doing whatever he wants and just sitting there, sitting back and be like, oh no, that's okay. But like at the same time, we both, my partner and I, have a different approach as to how we want to parent him. And so I think it's a matter of like meeting somewhere in the middle and figuring out the best, what's best for your child, you know?
Yeah. Isn't it funny? Like for me, I feel like it all comes back to communication, you know? So same with my husband and I, right? Like Colin and I, you're raised differently. Like we've had different lived experiences.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we each have our own different triggers and like our own different things that we took from our childhood that we liked or we didn't like. And so you like try to make this formula, but we also fall into our roles, you know? Like I am more, I wouldn't say disciplinary, like I don't do timeouts or anything like that, but I'm the one who's got to lay down the law, right? And be like, I love you and we can find other ways, but we're not going to be doing that.
Yeah.
Jack today wanted to eat sugar cubes. Sir, we are not eating sugar cubes. I love you so much. Those are for coffee is where I landed with that. Right. Yeah. Whereas like, it's just the little things, the little things and the big things. Right. And so it's all like, yeah, communication. And then I saw somebody say like, our parents' ceiling is our floor. And I think maybe you relate to this too. Like it's really confronting looking back at your past experiences and you cognitively know your parents did the best that they could do. And it's a little hard sometimes to be like, all I needed in this moment was XYZ, you know?
Yeah.
And then like, then the flip side for me, because I get way too in my head is like, oh no, please, the perfectionist in me, I don't want to mess them up. Like, oh no, I just said the wrong thing. And like, right. And then you're like, oh my God, now that's going to be the thing that they have a problem with. And I just want at the end of the day that they're like, I love my mom. She did such a good job. And so it's such a tight rope to walk. Do you know Dr. Becky?
No, I'll have to look her up.
Yeah. So she has a whole platform and a book and all the things. Good Inside is like her thing. And so she talks a lot about this conversation. And she talks about, I haven't finished her book yet, but she talks about, I guess, repair. Mm-hmm. Like at the end of the day, repairing in a situation, like you're gonna mess up. But as long as you repair, then that's like actually what's more meaningful. So that's given me a little solace of like, okay, I'm gonna mess up. It's gonna happen. But at the end of the day, if I can communicate and like have them still want to communicate with me, that's like, I don't know, the best we can do in this situation. And I'm sure our kids will have a whole different conversation where we're like, we tried so hard. I'm so sorry.
No, that is such a good way to think about it though, because we're so hard on ourselves. And I think it's so important to have that grace of like, okay, maybe I just said something that I wish I hadn't said, or, you know, we get in our heads thinking like, oh my God, that's going to mess them up. But as long as we can come back from it and give ourselves some compassion and grace around those things, then I think that's the most important. And I think that our kids are only going to remember those things, is probably, I'm hoping.
Fingers crossed, right?
Yeah.
Well, and I think it's really helpful when we can find other like people we relate to and who are willing to be vulnerable like you're doing and having these kind of conversations and like show up and be true and real and honest, because then we don't feel alone, right?
Like, yes, exactly.
I have two girlfriends and we've got kids the same age. Like we all have two kids exactly same ages and we're entrepreneurs and we all live in this area. And so I'm just so grateful for them, because we'll sit down once a month and we'll have girls' night, typically here at the studio. And we'll just like, it's not that we're venting. It's not that we're trying to whine, but we're just relating and saying like, gosh, this was really hard. Or, you know, this conversation we're having now, we just had it at the last like mom's night. And it's not even that we have answers for each other. It's just to be seen and to like feel understood. So I think like what you're doing here is so important
for everybody
to be in community, right? Because that's really, I think, what makes the difference.
Absolutely. Speaking on that subject, like what are some hurdles that you've had to face as a mother? Like what are some things that you've had to overcome and maybe like something that you wish you had known earlier?
Mm-hmm. So I think the rush thing has been a big one for me. Just trying to slow myself down and like not push them and not like rush them for whatever as a people pleaser, like for that external, right? To like, right. I can't inconvenience anybody else or burden anybody else. Right. Like, I don't want to model that and teach that for them. Like, I want them to be able to live and be on their own and not, I don't know, not have that pressure. So, yeah. So the rushing thing and the perfectionism thing, like, I don't use the word perfect around them. I don't use the word hard work. Because I've noticed a narrative that, you know, we all grew up in the hustle, hard work culture. And so I make work harder on myself. I think because subconsciously that's the narrative that was the grooves that were written in my brain for so long.
Absolutely.
And at every turn, I will like make work harder than it needs to be for no reason. So I've been trying to say like fun work or easy work. So definitely like, yeah, subconscious stuff. I think motherhood has allowed me to see like what a big deal words are and like how they can play. And so I'm always like filtering myself of like thinking, you know, probably way too many steps ahead of what that could play out in. But so, yeah, I would say that. And then the other big lesson that I've realized that like I've been integrating with them too is I realized, like I said, how much I've been outsourcing my power. Yeah. And like, you know, looking for everybody else to validate or approve or like tell me things to do when I am my highest authority and I'm the only one who knows my own blueprint. And so I think that a lot with the kids too and have to work that muscle all the time. Yeah. Sophia is our like free spirit and like she wants to walk through town on a nice day and doesn't want to have her shoes on and wants to be barefoot. And like, conditioning and all the things lets me know you have to put your shoes on.
Right.
And then I have to step back and be like, but does she really? Like if there's no broken glass, you know, it's those little things that like those little muscles where I want to say something, but then I have to take a step back and be like, why? What is the conditioning? Right. What's the reality? If it's her body, it's her choice. Like obviously I need to keep her safe and it's my job to be her guide. But on the flip side, how many times do we say no when we don't need to. We need to let them live their life. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a challenge all the time. Like, especially as an HSP for me, like we were dyeing eggs today and they wanted to pour all the different colors into the same container and volume wise, that's not going to work. And now the dye is going to spill everywhere. And it's like, try to let them live their life and be like exploring and creative. And also like, oh, please don't spill the dye everywhere and get it all over us.
That's literally the dialogue inside my brain on a daily basis. And it also must be magnified too, because you have two children. So you can see the extreme differences between both of them and how, yeah, obviously they're genetically related and biologically brother and sister, but it's just wild how different we all are and how important it is to let your child like express those things and to not kind of hinder those things.
Yeah. So my kids are exactly 18 months apart. Yeah. And they essentially like grew up under the same conditions. You know, Jack was 9 months when COVID hit and Sophia was like born November of 2020, like smack dab in the middle, had COVID in the hospital, all the things.
Oh, she had COVID?
All of us did. Yeah, that was.
Oh my gosh.
It was just a crazy time as we all experienced. But that was one of my huge takeaways around that time was like two kids, almost Irish twins, right?
Right.
Similar conditions. Like they both were brought up in a pandemic, same parents, like same everything else. And like you said, like we all are our own people. Like they are similar in some ways and very different in other ways. And like learning, it is a challenge, especially with them close, to learn how to support each of them in their own ways. But that authority, like you are your highest authority piece is something I think about a lot of like, okay, got to give her space to be herself and do her thing. Yeah. And I don't want to like put them on a conveyor belt or like, you know, homogenize them and have them have to do things the same when they want to do things different. So that's where unschooling has been helpful. Yeah.
What is unschooling? I don't know this term either.
Yeah. So it's a form of homeschooling.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So instead of like school at home, like they don't sit down and have like curriculum and lessons and like are watching like videos and stuff for 5 hours. They're not doing school at home. It's just the whole approach that we take to learning, which is learning experientially by doing. So when they're interested, like Jack is super interested in dinosaurs. And I don't know if you've gotten into brooder vehicles yet.
No.
Are you familiar? Okay. So it's to scale like real life trucks. Like,
oh, I know. As soon as I introduce this, he's going to be obsessed.
Save yourself. They're amazing. Great, high quality things. And they're each like $120 a pop, which is fine. Mm. But then they want multiple. And, yeah. And so the difference there with like unschooling versus regular school is if he's interested in that, we focus on helping him continue to be interested in that. And naturally learning happens. So
yeah.
He wants Bruder. We help him create a business and he learns math and he learns business and he learns all of these things in the act of just pursuing what he's interested in. Mm-hmm. Versus having to sit down for like formal math lessons or things like that. So
yeah. It
takes a lot of de-schooling to do unschooling because you have to decondition all that we have like learned and lived our whole lives. it's all very integrated for us. The slow living, the slow business, entrepreneurship, unschooling, like it very much is just a lifestyle that we live.
I love it. And I think, I always think about the school system and how it's structured and just how it does the exact opposite of what it needs to be doing. And I think about that all the time. And it's like, it's so frustrating because it's like, it's almost like they're doing it on purpose.
Yeah. It's crazy to think that school hasn't changed in like
100
years.
Yeah.
And it very much is. It's very confusing when you think about it of like what we expect from kids in a school and in a classroom versus what you want out of an adult. So like you want somebody who follows their passions, who focuses on something that they're like a specialist in, that, you know, does things differently, all of those things. But that's not how we structure the school system for 22 years of your life, you know,
right,
whatever it is. So yeah, it's been eye-opening to like, to lean into that and try all the things and find, again, what feels good for us. Like it might not be a fit for other people and each kid is different. And we're very open of like, if the kid said, I want to go to school, morally, it'll be a little hard for me, just like with the way I think. But again, they're their highest authorities. So we're open to doing what they want. And
Right. Also
right now, this is what feels best for us.
Oh, awesome. I love that approach. And then what's your favorite thing about being a mom?
Oh my gosh, so much.
I know.
I mean, like the little things are, you know, seeing their smiles, seeing their laughs, seeing them run towards you and hug you and just know the love that's there. And then the bigger stuff too, I would say, is how integrated it all is. Like it is such a growth experience as a human.
It is.
And I'm very grateful for that, to be able to grow into who I'm being and help them grow into who they're being. And I think we very much like 50-50 learn from each other. So.
Absolutely. I know they're just as much our teachers as we are theirs.
100%.
Let's move into some wellness stuff. I want to dive into the acronym. What do you do to stay mindful?
Okay. So I've been trained in, not to teach it, just to do it, transcendental meditation. Are you familiar with TM?
I am. Yeah.
Okay. So I've done TM since 2014, but I also sometimes just like use Insight Timer.
Mm-hmm.
So meditation is big for me. I allow myself to cycle sync and kind of flow into what feels good. That's been, again, flow and like realizing I don't have to be the same linear person every day is important. And so with that, I like to do yoga, but I don't force myself to just do it every day. That is like, I think, helpful from a mindfulness perspective as well. It's like very much integrated in meditation. And I think like recognizing self-care for myself has been another thing that helps me have a more full cup, right? To like show up as a more mindful, intentional, present person when I have capacity. I need to like give myself that capacity. So
yeah,
feeling into what feels good to me in moments and allowing myself to listen to that and receive.
Yeah, I love that. When you got trained in TM, did they give you a mantra?
They did.
Ooh, I always like, whenever somebody brings up TM, I'm always like, I wonder what their mantra is.
Right? Because yeah, for those who don't know, you're not supposed to tell.
Yeah,
like, even my husband doesn't know my mantra. Nobody knows my mantra.
I know, it's so cool.
It's like you can Google it and kind of guess what a person's is. Because when I Googled it, because my husband didn't go through the training, but he wanted to try it. And it seems like it's based on like your birthday or there's like two components. Like one thing was the first section of it and the other, I can't remember exactly what it was. I'm sure you can Google it and figure it out. But yeah, it's funny. It's like this weird thing where I just...
Like this little secret that you have and nobody knows. It's kind of cool.
Exactly. Yeah, it's cool. I really enjoy it.
How do you tap into your intuition?
Practice.
Yes.
Practice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think learning to listen to myself, to know, like the more that I've learned things about me, like the HSP thing, mm-hmm. and like, again, doing the personality test, like the more I learn and understand like who I am and how I feel is valid, as is full stop, the easier it is for me to lean into that intuition, because it's like I'm not looking for that outside validation as much anymore. Human design has definitely helped. Yeah.
It's a good point to bring up, because I feel like, you know, the older you get, and I think another reason too why people say like, oh, mother's intuition knows best, is because like once you do become a mother, I feel like it kind of births a new version of yourself as well. And the better you get to know yourself and the more things you learn about yourself, the easier it is to tap into your intuition and realize like, oh, okay, this is why I'm feeling a certain type of way. This is why my mind is saying this thing, like it's okay to listen to it.
Yeah. I felt that a lot with like uncovering, it's just been the past year maybe that I've uncovered the whole human design thing and really gotten to understand it. And that has been huge. Like you said, it's like I read something and I listen to the whole audio about myself. And I was like, this is me to a T. And now it explains why I feel this way or why I enjoy that. Or
yeah,
it's not that I'm looking for validation, but it is nice to have that validation, right?
Right. Totally. Yeah. What are some of your lifestyle non-negotiables?
Yeah. Slow mornings for sure. I used to be a tea fanatic, but because I've been tired, I've reintroduced coffee into my life. Mm-hmm. Just like, what is this miraculous thing that allows me to be awake by having some sips of it? Like,
I'm so jealous. I don't feel the effects of caffeine. And it's not like I overdo it, but I'm so jealous of people who feel their coffee in the mornings. I'm like, I want to feel it. Why don't I feel this?
Triple shot of espresso.
Yeah, I should probably try that.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so that has been a new thing in my routine. And I like the act of it, right? Of like turning on the pot and like going through the process. We use like an AeroPress. So there's like steps to it and then having that like warm cup. Yeah. So there's all of that. Yeah. And I try to like look at the little things like, you know, noticing when the sun is rising because I am up so early and reading and just if when I can have a shower to myself, just like a nice warm shower. I have Gilmore Girls playing.
Oh,
nobody else in my space. Like just, it's just the little things, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And walks too. We have a dog. And so I try to get our dog out for a walk before I'm on duty.
Yeah. And lastly, what is your fitness routine?
At the end of last year, I was working with a trainer and that was really helpful. I just needed to get stronger because the kids are getting, Jack is like 41 pounds and Sophia is 34-ish. And sometimes they want me to carry both of them. I'm like, I am not strong enough anymore. So I had a little bit of weights and stuff like that in that routine. Now it's yoga occasionally. I was on a kick for at least a good month of doing yoga like every day and integrating that practice. The weather is just starting to break here. So like today it's not even 50. So it's a little chilly. Most days this winter have been like, you know, below 32 degrees.
Yeah.
So walking is definitely something that I love to do for my fitness. We're in like, you know, a hilly-ish area. So trying to get like an hour long walk in for me at this point, or even just pushing the stroller, like the wagon with 80 pounds in it. That's where my fitness routine lies in these days. And then like for me, I think eating very much plays into how I feel health-wise. So what I eat is the other kind of piece of that puzzle for me.
Right. Yeah. What does your nutrition look like?
Yeah. We're mostly vegan in the house. We were vegan for like a year. And then with the trainer, I reintroduced protein and all of that. And since have gone back to being mostly vegan. Our biggest thing is just like eating clean, trying to have enough protein and fiber and fat in our meals. You know, trying to have non-processed. We're excited to start our own garden this year. And so that way we can have our own, you know, fruits and veggies from that. But yeah, that's, I mean, I think for me, it's just the, it's hard in this day and age, but the non-processed stuff.
Yes, I know. It's hard, but there are also so many alternatives. And I think do what you can now, especially with our kids too. It's like, you have to be so aware and mindful of like what you're putting in their tiny little bodies. And it can be hard sometimes. Like Hunter loves sugar and it's like, okay, what are some alternatives that I can find when he's like craving, you know, a popsicle or an ice cream bar? And it's like, you know, I'll do frozen grapes, I'll do a smoothie, or like, and the, you know, there's are occasions where I'm just like, you know what, you can have this treat. It's necessary, but like, oh man, it's a lot.
We're the same. Do you ever get the Stony Brook, like they look like old school Go-Gurts?
Yes, yes.
Okay, we put those in the freezer. And so ooh, we just said that it's ice cream.
Smart.
But it's actually frozen yogurt.
Because he loves those Stony Brook ones, the yogurts.
Right. Yeah, so we get like the Go-Gurt style, and then yeah, I'll just like cut the side of it and peel down like a banana, like peel down, and then I hand it to them. And then I'm like, I don't even care if you have five because you're actually just having yogurt, you know?
Yeah.
They're in the sugar content and there isn't terrible. But that's one of our hacks.
I literally have some in the fridge right now. I'm about to go put them in the freezer.
Put them in the freezer. Here you go. Ice cream time.
Love it. And then one last question I ask everyone at the end of every episode is, if you could go back in time and give yourself one piece of advice, what would you say to the younger version of yourself?
I'm going to throw it back to the you are your highest authority piece, because that's just been such a huge lesson that I had to learn time and time again. And just recognizing that like nobody else can tell you about what you need to do and what is right for you. Like you get to uncover that and you get to find people who are there to be your mirror and help reflect back what you need to know in the situations, ooh, not tell you what you need to do.
That is such a good reminder. Wow. I'm taking that one down as a note too, because I need that for myself.
I need to say it to myself so often.
Yeah, it's a good one. Okay, Megan, thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it. Where can everybody find you, follow you, connect with you and work with you, like all of the things?
Yeah, the easiest thing is probably just to go to our website, mompreneurco.com. You'll find our Substack there. Since launching the Substack, I've pulled off of Instagram. So you can see our page is like, looks like a website.
Yeah.
But response-wise, you'll hear from me through Substack, and you can see all the other things on our website too.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much for everything today. I feel like you dropped so many amazing little bombs in there that were really helpful to me. So I know that it's going to be really helpful to the audience as well. So yeah, thank you so much. And I just admire everything that you're doing. Like you're living such a dream life. And yeah, so congratulations on everything.
Yeah, thank you. And right back to you. Like, thank you for having me on this platform and for creating such an amazing community and these conversations that are so important. And I just love the little formula of all the things that are important to you and how you're integrating them together. Cause yeah, it's just so needed.
Thank you all for tuning in. I hope you gained some insight on how to practice becoming more mindful, learned the importance of listening to your intuition, gained some lifestyle takeaways and fitness tips. Don't forget to follow and subscribe to the podcast. It means so much to me and is really the best way to support the show. And if you feel inclined, please do not hesitate to leave a review. You can follow me on Instagram at Cherokee Luker and the podcast at The MILF Way. So make sure you follow along to access my personal content and content pertaining to the podcast to help you become the best version of yourself. Talk to you all very soon. Love, love.